Hey, welcome to Christian Overcomers. We are the resistance striving to keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ in this troubled world. Hey, prophecy update. Did your church celebrate Independence Day? Did your church celebrate Independence Day? Every time Independence Day comes around, I cannot help but think of the great 12th chapter in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the woman versus the dragon, the woman that wears a crown of 12 stars versus the dragon with the multi-heads and all those types of things, right? The dragon that controls the world and the nations of the world to come against God's people, true Israel. Now, we're not talking about the little nation over in the Middle East today called the Israeli nation, okay? That only makes up a small portion of the tribe of Judah, and there's some other mixtures there as well. We're talking about all the 10 lost tribes when we talk about Israel, as well as the tribe of Judah, okay? All 12 tribes. And so I cannot help but think of this great chapter that talks about God's people going in to a wilderness land, to a place that God had prepared for them, away from the old promised land, okay? And let's just start reading it. And then we're going to talk about the alarming trend that we're starting to see with churches celebrating Juneteenth instead of what I believe to be, you know, American Independence Day, what I believe to be foretold of in this 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Check this out. And when the dragon, Revelation 12, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. What woman brought forth the man-child? Well, everybody'd say, well, that was Mary. Okay, we're going further than that, okay? The biological line. The woman symbolizes the biological family line of Israel through which Christ was born. Okay? In other words, the woman equals true Israel. All right? The dragon is always after true Israel. He's always after that family line. Today, many people would, I guess you could almost simplify this. Today, knowing the migrations of the 10 lost tribes of Israel, knowing that they went north over the Caucasus Mountains, were later renamed Caucasians. Today, you could say these are the white Christian peoples, okay? Now, not every white person is an Israelite, okay? Jacob had a brother, Esau, and he was also Caucasian-like, or what we call Caucasian or white, Adamic. And he's not an Israelite, so it doesn't mean that. But generally speaking, you could say the woman would be the white Christian nations, okay? The white Christian peoples. A biological family line. We're not talking about a spiritual family at this time, because Gentiles can come into the spiritual family of Christ and be a part of this family. But we're talking about the biological family line of which this woman represents, okay? The dragon's always after her. We see it in culture today. The most evil thing now is the white Christian man, okay? That's like the devil of today's society. Why? Because they brought Christianity. Those people, the true Israelites, brought Christianity to the world, built this great nation, America, that has been an amazing, it has a lot of problems now, filled with a lot of sin. But you know, Christianity in America, I mean, we've brought Bibles around the world, missionaries and things like that, okay? So these people have been used for that, and that's why the dragon hates them so much. That's why we see all this anti-white stuff being peddled in the schools, social justice, Black Lives Matter, you name it. It's all part of the dragon's agenda to persecute the race of the woman that brought forth the Messiah, okay? It's really simple. We're living it. Do you recognize it? Okay, if you're one of these woke people, Well, the dragon has woken you up to hate this culture, these people, this race, and ultimately the true gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. Verse 14, and to the woman. Now pay attention really close here. This is why I celebrate Independence Day, my friends. This is why I celebrate Independence Day. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Where? Independent. Apart. Into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Did you know that's why the early pilgrims came here? The serpent, the dragon, had taken control of the mainstream church in Europe. They had taken control of the economy. And they had taken control of the kings and the princes by bribery, manipulation, and things like that, just like they do today. Okay. And so these Christians, America started with these Christians coming to America to flee the persecution of the dragon. And notice it says a great eagle. What is America's great standard? The eagle. What does the eagle symbolize? America? Well, in part, but it more specifically, it represents God who led the pilgrims to America. Okay? 400 years ago. 400 years ago, approximately. All right? And so I understand a lot of people don't celebrate Independence Day, or they don't get into it, or they're duped into celebrating Juneteenth instead of Independence Day because, you know, because they're ignorant. They've been lied to. They don't understand who true Israel is, and that America is the, if you would, the new Israel, or the Israel of the New Testament. It is the same biological family. All right. A lot of people just understand it as a spiritual thing and believe. So if you study American, true American history to any level, you'll know that the pilgrims and the early Americans viewed themselves as the new Israel. Now, I don't believe they were a replacement of old Israel as far as a new biological family line replacing an old or something like that, or a new spiritual line replacing the biological line. They were simply Israel restored. Okay? Israel restored, brought to this land where they, where God had this place, this wilderness land prepared. I mean, think about this. I mean, America was a vast wilderness. America was a vast wilderness before the pilgrims came. And even during the Revolutionary War, it was still a vast wilderness out to the west here. All right? Out to the west. But I'm going to keep this short and simple. This, every time the 4th of July, again, every time the 4th of July comes around, Independence Day, I always think about this magnificent chapter. And yet, hardly anybody understands this or views it as this. And yet, you see the great eagle, you see the wilderness land, you see this place where God's people would flee persecution. They would come here to flee persecution of the dragon. It's all there, my friends. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, a lot of people view this as Satan's flood of lies. Think about this. In part, it is true. This woke movement, all of the lies that have been peddled in America to demonize white Christians, true Israelites, and the Bible and Christianity and, you know, conservatism. Where does it come from? It comes from the serpent. And I want you to pay close attention, because the serpent has moved into a great many of our churches. Again, do you wonder why? I'm sure many of you sat in a 4th of July service where they might have gave lip service to the 4th of July this weekend. But then did a different message, did a spin, you know, may have said something like, and it's true, may have said something like, hey, on the 4th of July, the message is freedom in Christ or something like that. And then belittle the 4th of July as though it's a bad thing and that, you know, we should only focus on freedom in Christ. Well, it's interesting. I'm going to read this in a little bit. The Declaration of Independence. I mean, that's when you read the Declaration of Independence, it was a document written primarily by Christian patriots, Christian Americans. Written as a declaration to the world and as a plea to Almighty God for his assistance to combat tyranny. Okay? They were pleading, it's a plea to God, the Declaration of Independence. And that's the day we celebrate. This is what we should be talking about. Instead of saying, well, we don't want to talk about, you know, America and things like that because of all it's talking about is freedom. Why don't we talk about what they thought freedom was? Okay. It isn't the same definition of freedom that we have today, that man can just do whatever he wants. Okay. These were Christian. These were primarily Christian peoples seeking a place where they could live out the commandments of God and adhere to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, I gotta drink some water here. All right, here we go. I apologize for that. The morning, my allergies always seem to get me and always seems to come right during prophecy update here. So he casts out a flood after the woman. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth. He was angry with the woman. Again, who is the woman? It's a biological family line that we know of today, or what we call today white Christians. Okay, old Ben, Pastor Ben, that sounds like a racist thing. You know, you can't say the word white anymore. Well, maybe you've been drinking the serpent's poison, if that offends you. Okay? Because these people, their destiny was to be a light and an example unto the world, to spread the gospel to the world, to bring the word of God to the peoples, to the heathens. We should make no apology for that. Our heritage is rich. The 4th of July, the coming of the pilgrims, I will never apologize for my ancestors coming to this nation with their Bibles in hand, trying to build a Christian culture and spreading the light of truth in a dark world. I'll never apologize for that. But yet even the leftist woke culture is trying to get us to apologize for it. And you even see your local churches are doing the same thing. They're celebrating Juneteenth, but not the 4th of July now. You'll see that. I'm going to show you something alarming here in a minute. Okay, so what's significant about these people is they, I'm going to read this again. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, seed that's a biological family line, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In the end days, in these last times, in these latter days, if you would, what biological family line has been the primary defenders of the Bible, the commandments of God, and Christianity, the testimony of Jesus Christ? What family line? Okay? You all know, It is, you know, the white Christians that are now under attack. Again, there are wonderful Christians of blacks, Asians, you know, Red Indian, you name it. This is not a knock on them, but this is an attempt to show you the truth. God's people coming to this great land to be free and independent, I believe firmly with all my heart and soul, was a direct fulfillment, or a partial, at least a partial fulfillment, of this woman coming into this land. And yet, it's hardly talked about, and not only is it hardly talked about, it's talked about a lot now. Now it's demonized. Because now we have to replace this great independence of the woman fleeing into the wilderness to bring the gospel. Now we replace it with Juneteenth. Who even knows what that means? Okay? Who even knows exactly what that means? And also, you know, you got Kwanzaa. Replacing the time that we celebrate the conception of Jesus Christ. Do you think these things are an accident? And there are many other things. Those are just two that came off the top of my mind. So, in other words, Revelation 12. Recap one more time. I believe was a huge prophecy of the regathering of the 12 tribes. Not just the 10, but even all 12 tribes of Israel in the last days. And yet, it goes just whoosh, past so many people. Many Christians today don't even know who they are. They don't know they're of this family that has a destiny and a purpose. This family that is a part of the kingdom of God. This family that has a great heritage, and we're throwing it away to the heathens. All right, the Declaration of Independence, like I talked about, I don't know if I'll go into it in depth, but maybe I'll read a little bit about it. It says, in Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume the powers of the earth, separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect of opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now check this out. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And obviously, I know the attack is, you know, they were talking about their fellow brethren, the fellow Christians, okay? That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it goes on, and it talks about, it mentions the Creator. It mentions all, you know, then it goes on and it lists all these grievances against King George and so on. All right. So it was really, I think I did a study on this a little while back, that the Declaration of Independence was like a legal document submitted to, a legal case submitted to the Supreme Court of the universe. Okay. And God answered. America got their independence. And I can't remember how many signers of the, there were many signers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Many of them are Christian pastors. Okay. Yeah, there were a few deists and things like that. But overwhelmingly, this was a Christian separation. Okay. Christian separation. Now there is, and one of the things that, and I'm going to switch gears a little bit. There's a local church in my town that has been overtly and covertly, that means just openly and in secret, a little sly of the hand ways of doing so. So they've been overtly and covertly trying to spread the social gospels, what many people call it. Social justice, you know, Black Lives Matter, you name it. Okay, we know it as it's Marxism disguised as Christianity, okay? It is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It is this one world government, this, you know, all of this unity and diversity, multiculturalism, share the world's resources, you name it. It's leftism, it's communism, it's Marxism. And it's disguised as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Black Lives Matter even admitted that they were socialist, that they were communist. Okay, so it's no secret. And so there's an assistant pastor, anyways, in my town that has openly supported Black Lives Matter. All right, a communist organization, an organization that is against the traditional family structure, and you go on and on. I mean, there's just nothing Christian, nothing good about this. And I live in a pretty conservative town in Minnesota, one of the very few left, you know, in this area. And so it's frustrating to me because there are many good, solid, conservative Christian patriots in this town. And many of them go to that church and are constantly being fed propaganda by the sleight of hand of this, you know, propaganda, you know, Black Lives Matter, social justice, you name it. All these leftist political doctrines disguised as the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're constantly getting fed this stuff. I know it because I know what to look for. But these people, they go there thinking they're getting the Bible, and they get a few verses here and there, and they get entertained by the music. They get entertained by the pastor telling his jokes, telling his stories. They have a great children's babysitter center, basically, is what it is. Children's fun house. And they concentrate on taking care of the children. And at the end of the day, their slogan is love people, love God, love people, which sounds good. Sounds like they're obeying the first and the second great commandments. Love, like Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. But they're peddling all kinds of communist, socialist doctrines wrapped up in a bow that says, oh, this is the gospel, when it's not. It's not. All right. And it frustrates, and I don't do these messages because I'm going to be pointing out some names here in a little bit. I don't do these messages to be negative, to try to, you know, judge other people and to nitpick. I don't like to see sheep being misled and lied to. I don't like to see good, conservative, patriotic Christians feel like they need to go to a church, and they go to this church, and then they are constantly bombarded with messages of guilt, messages of don't be too bold in standing up for social issues like, you know, standing against abortion, standing against homosexual marriage, and standing against all these evil things. Don't be so bold. And every time I listen to these messages a lot, okay? I have access to the internet, and I can listen to the messages, and I hear the same thing over and over again. I feel like I'm a zealous Bible-believing Christian, and I go there, or I listen to that message, and I would leave there feeling like somebody just punched me a bunch of times, saying, "Well, you're too bold, you're too strong, you just need to stop being so patriotic, so conservative, and so this and that, and just love." Okay? It's not true. Number one, they don't teach the Bible in that church of which this other pastor, we're going to be talking about him in a little bit. I'm not going to name him by name. Those of you who live nearby, you'll know who I'm talking about. Well, let's continue on. I'm going to show you something here. So basically, I wanted to understand, why are they teaching all of these leftist views? Why are they constantly beating on Christian conservatives in a covert manner? What's fueling them to do this? Where are they getting their information from? Who's teaching them this stuff? Because like I said, they're not teaching the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse. They're just cherry picking subjects and themes here and there and ignoring all the controversial parts of the Bible, ignoring the real gospel. All right? Check this out. One of the pastors, this assistant pastor of this church nearby, and many of you have the same thing. It's not just my town, okay? It's everywhere across America. He is actually a professor at this university called North Central University. North Central University is the only Assemblies of God college in Minnesota, and it's located in downtown Minneapolis, as far as what I could find. Maybe I could be wrong, but when I researched this, this was the only Assemblies of God college I could find. And why I bring it up is because if this is the only Assemblies of God church or college in town, where are most of the pastors of these Assemblies of God? Where are they getting educated? Probably here. Okay, probably here. A lot of them. And this is what they posted on their Facebook page here. North Central University on June 20th. Juneteenth celebration. Growing in love and cultural understanding. Not sure where to start? Begin with a list of suggested books by TJ Jones library staff. And if you read the article, you can read about it. You know, it's just, they're full-fledged, you know, Juneteenth, this is wonderful. The emancipation of the slaves and so on. Now, number one, I've done studies on, is slavery really a sin? And I'm just going to touch on it briefly because this study is not to talk about this. The study is not meant to focus on this, okay? I just want to point out an alarming trend. But number one, the fourth and the tenth commandment protect the institution of slavery, okay? You can read it yourself. Go check it out, Deuteronomy chapter 20, and you'll see the word slavery mentioned there. You shall not covet your neighbor's slaves in the 10th commandment. And in the fourth commandment, the slaves were to be given rest on the Sabbath day as well as everybody else, okay? So we know it's protected there. There are in the book of, I think Deuteronomy and Leviticus, I believe Leviticus and Deuteronomy, I think both, there are laws that regulate slavery, okay? And then someone would say, well, Pastor Ben, that's the Old Testament. When Christ came, he set everyone free. Well, interesting, you read in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he in many different places, he told the Christian slaves to obey their masters. He returned a runaway slave. In fact, I could go even further than this. When you're a Christian, you were bought as a slave. You were a slave to sin. Jesus's blood paid for you, bought you, redeemed you from a slave to sin or from being Satan's slave to being God's slave. Two forms of slave. I mean, the only difference in the slavery there, really, if you think about it, it's not slavery that is, if God has slaves, servants, okay? He can't be evil. I mean, people are telling us that the institution of slavery itself, no matter what, is evil, it's wicked, it was brought by the evil white man, and all these types of things. Well, then God's an evil slave master because he owns a lot of slaves. If you're a Christian, he owns you. He's a slave master and you're a slave. So that doesn't make any sense. I see great, well-meaning Christians just totally, they don't understand this, okay? So slavery, we know from the Bible, is obviously not banned, okay? There are various forms. It was regulated. There were things that couldn't be done. You couldn't just torture and mutilate and all these types of things, okay? There was a system in place to regulate it, okay? And it wasn't just to regulate it because God knew it wasn't evil and he's just working within the evil system. Nonsense. Nonsense, okay? The sin, slavery itself as an institution is not a sin. The only thing that would be sinful is if you had a wicked slave master. Okay? Satan is the wicked slave master. God is the righteous slave master. God treats his slaves with love, respect, dignity. He gives them many liberties, but not to do whatever they want. Because after all, they are still slaves. I'm still a slave. Jesus bought me on the slave market with his blood. He bought me. I was there, spiritually speaking. So the institution of slavery is actually enshrined in the gospel, my friends. Now, wicked slave masters are condemned. In American history, were there wicked slave masters? I'm sure there were. Okay? Were there godly slave masters, slave owners, like many of our founding fathers? Absolutely. Did they treat their slaves well? Yes, they did. Were they committing a sin because they were slave owners, according to the Bible? Absolutely not. It all depends on the treatment. Now, and I'm not going to go into exactly what that treatment is. You have a Bible, read it. The abolitionist movement, and Juneteenth is a byproduct of that. The abolitionist movement was a leftist, socialist, progressive movement that defied the 10th commandment. How can you say that, Pastor Ben? How can you say that abolitionist movement defied the 10th commandment? Because it sought to strip people of their servants. You read the 10th commandment. We are commanded not to covet, to steal. To covet or want to steal our neighbor's belongings. And yes, that included the slaves, the servants. Now think about how many African Americans or Black Americans received the gospel by a loving, generous, caring, slave-owning Christian family. How many of those Blacks that were from Africa they were put on the market by the other Africans that beat them in tribal warfare, and they sold them on the market, and they were bought by a loving, caring Christian owner who fed them, nurtured them, gave them a job, gave them housing for their family, taught them the gospel, gave them a healthy, happy life. And now Juneteenth, the celebration of Juneteenth, demonizes those Christian brethren. It demonizes Christian history. It demonizes the 4th of July, because it says that freedom was only for the white man and not for the Black man and so forth. Freedom was for the free Israelite at that time on the 4th of July. That's absolutely what it was. Do we apologize for that? Was it hypocritical that the founders wrote that and yet kept slaves? Absolutely not. Not any more hypocritical than it would be for the Apostle Paul to tell slaves to obey their masters. Because it's not against the Bible. It's not America's greatest sin. America's greatest sins are what we're witnessing it right now. It's the woke movement. You know, and I might say, you know, there were other people, Israelites. Now, in the Bible, the Israelites could keep somebody of a non-Israelite nation, a heathen nation, as a slave indefinitely, okay? But they could also keep other Israelite slaves for 7 years. And every seventh year was a year of release. They'd have to let those people go and so forth. There are many people today, and slavery also in many cases was a replacement for welfare. It was work to eat, okay? If you were down on your luck and you made some bad decisions or just tough times came, many people sold themselves into slavery for 7 years. Okay. They at least they had a job. They could provide for their family. They could have housing. It was a wonderful way to take care of people who are in a, you know, bad situation. Let's say if you were sold on the slave market, it allowed you, you know, because in Africa, there were many tribal wars going on. And the other black tribes would conquer other black tribes, and they would sell those slaves into the market rather than just totally killing them all. Okay. So what I'm trying to say, and it's even in the gospel, slavery, though it's not the most ideal life, except for a Christian being a slave to God, but slavery to other men is not the ideal life. And if you're a slave to a loving Christian master, then it's wonderful. If you're someone who is not independent minded and things like that, but it provides, excuse me, it provides a means of salvation to those who were in deep trouble. Okay. We wouldn't have welfare today if we still had the biblical institutions in place. And I know this sounds probably absolutely insane to some people that a man in the 21st century, is that where we are? We're in the 21st century? And the man in the year 2000s would be even saying such a thing. Beloved, it's not me that's the wacko, the nut job. It is our society has gotten so far away from God's word that God's truth sounds foreign to them. They've been peddled a false, twisted version of the Bible, a false gospel, this love, tolerance, Marxism, social justice, and all these types of things. And I know a lot of you are probably waiting to see why I'm going into this. All right, let's go over there. Okay. So this assistant pastor of this church is actually a professor at this university, North Central University. So they celebrate Juneteenth, they celebrate it and so on. Then on June, we go from June 20th to June 28th. You know, they all go out golfing. We're going to go out golf. Nothing wrong with golfing, but, you know, we're all golfing. Enjoying, you know, our independence that these Christians brought us, you know, so we have time to golf. And Juneteenth didn't birth America, but July 4th did. But guess what? July 4th comes around, July 5th, July 6th, now it's July 7th. I checked North Central University's website. Not one mention of the 4th of July. Not one mention of the 4th of July. And that local church nearby where this assistant pastor goes to, the head pastor just says, oh, happy 4th of July weekend. It is the 4th of July weekend, isn't it? And kind of belittles the 4th of July in a way, in an indirect way, and then doesn't even mention it. Doesn't even mention the fact that our founding fathers were coming to this land to be free and independent so that they could live according to the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Never talked about the pilgrims. Never talked about how many signers of the Declaration of Independence were Christians and how many signers of the Constitution were Christians and many of them pastors. No. We don't talk about that. But we do talk about Juneteenth now. Why? What has happened? Well, the only Christian, now I point this out, a lot of other denominations are doing the same thing. So you look at all these Assemblies of God churches, where are these people getting educated? They're not learning Christian patriotism. They're not learning about the woman in the wilderness coming to a place prepared of God under the wings of a great eagle. They're not learning, they're not even understanding the significance of America in Bible prophecy. All right? None of this even, they're just totally deluded by this false gospel, this Marxism disguised as Christianity. All right. So I couldn't help myself. I gotta get to the truth. Of course, I got no response. I did this on their last year's thing. No response. Okay. No intellectual debate. No biblical response. I wrote, I see again, you celebrate Juneteenth, but no post celebrating America's Independence Day. Can you explain why Juneteenth is worthy to celebrate, but Independence Day isn't? And Rosie Williams replies, Marxism, destroy history. She's absolutely right. These people don't understand it. And these are your leaders, my friends. These are supposed to be your shepherds. These are supposed to be the shepherds of your churches. So this caused me to dig a little deeper. I'm thinking, well, okay, Assemblies of God, I'm not one to judge denominations because, you know, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, God, Jesus Christ had wrote letters to seven different churches, which were basically seven different denominations, if you would. They weren't denominations. They were churches in different locations, but they had been divided, right, in their beliefs at that time even. And Jesus had good things and bad things to say about a lot of the churches. Only two of the churches he had nothing bad to say about, the Church of Smyrna and Philadelphia. The other five, they had good things and bad things. So I don't like to spend time ripping on individual denominations, but I figured, you know what? Being that in order to become an Assemblies of God preacher, you got to probably go through this school and go through this stuff and look at what they're teaching. Nothing about the 4th of July, okay? But Juneteenth, okay? So then I did some history. The Assemblies of God, I did a little research in history. The Assemblies of God Church is an offshoot of the greater Pentecostal movement. Now, the Pentecostal movement, the movement that believes in speaking in unknown tongues, not the tongues of true Pentecost that was heard and understood in every language around the, in every language of all the different people that came from around the world to Jerusalem at that time. They believe in the slaying and the spirit, this, all this, you know, falling down, holy laughter and all these types of things. Okay. This all began with this modern day Pentecostal movement. It wasn't heard of in America before then. If it was, it probably was, you know, centralized as some crazy cult of some sort that was from some indigenous tribe somewhere. Okay. But then I found out that the father of the Pentecostal movement, his name was William Joseph Seymour. Okay. He lived from 1870 to 1922. He was the initiator of the Pentecostal religious movement. Now, it's not so surprising to me when I see that Juneteenth is celebrated among the Assemblies of God College, okay, and July 4th isn't, okay? Now, there is a problem with this. There are many great black ministers. You got, you know, great black people. They don't know the whole thing. They still maybe don't quite understand the issue of slavery and things like that, that a bad slave master is the evil, not the institution. You got the Candace Owens. You got the, you know, many great black Christians in America. Clarence Thomas, well, he's Catholic, but you know, he's a great man when it comes to biblical law and culture. All right. But there is an order. The Israelites, okay, the Israelites who I talked about before, and you even see it in the book of Acts, the church started with them. Okay, the hierarchy would be the Israelites, even God said this, that that Israel would be a holy priesthood, a holy nation unto the world, a light unto the Gentiles. That was God's purpose for Israel, okay? What happened here was you got, now you see the reverse, you got this heathenism, this William Joseph Sizemore that basically repackaged heathenism, the same unknown tongue that came from Africa and India and those other pagan nations. started calling it the Pentecostal tongue, which it isn't, and started doing all this. They repackaged heathenism, paganism, rebranded it as the gospel. And our people, the true Israelites, began following this movement, which is led by a man who is a non-Israelite man, and let alone a false prophet, a false apostle, okay? And you can do some research on this. It's called the Azazel. This movement began in Southern California, the Azazel Street Revival. And that's when this big false Pentecostal movement was birthed, okay? And again, it's nothing but heathenism, paganism, disguised as Christianity. Do your research, you'll find out it is. And now we see it's continued on with the social gospel, the Black Lives Matter support, and all these types of things, okay? So we're already, for all of these other Israelite pastors to follow this pastor is a reversal of God's natural order of his kingdom, okay? We were supposed to bring the light of the gospel, the truth of the Bible to the foreign nations, not the other way around. And that's what happened when William Joseph Seymour hijacked Christianity and brought in paganism. All right. Jeremiah 10 verse 2 says this, God speaking to the Israelites, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Okay, I wanted to go there because God's specific command was that we not learn the way of the heathen, but they are to learn our ways. Okay, what do we see with Juneteenth? The elevation of Juneteenth and the degradation of the 4th of July. Well, the elevation of the ways of the heathen and the demonization of the ways of God. Jeremiah 10 verse 21 says this, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. They don't seek the Lord chapter by chapter and verse by verse. They'll only pick the verses they want and then pull them out of context to say love, multiculturalism, diversity, social gospel, all those types of things. Therefore, they shall not prosper and all their flocks shall be scattered. That's happening, my friends. The flocks are being scattered. They don't even know. When I talk about slavery as an institution and say it was not America's greatest sin, and people look at me like I am absolutely nuts. Even fellow Christians would say, man, what century is this guy born in? That's evidence that the sheep are scattered. Okay? They don't understand the Bible. All they understand is the false gospel and the false ministers. That's who they listen to. Jeremiah 10 verse 22, behold, the noise of the brute is come. That's the brute. Who is the brute? The brute is the heathen, the non-Israelite, the pagan. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country. You look at the Pentecostal movement, it is a bunch of noise, loud noise, undisciplined noise, babbling in unknown tongues, not the Pentecost tongue, the heathen tongue. A great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons, and this movement has done just that. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen, Jeremiah says, that they know the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not upon thy name. For what? What have they done? What did Jeremiah say the heathen have done? They have eaten up Jacob. You ever hear of? You ever hear of this anti-white stuff that's being taught to people, to our children in schools today? To make children apologize for being white, to hate Independence Day, to hate America, to hate our founding. That's what's going on, my friends. for they have eaten up Jacob. They're devouring our culture, our nation, our way of life, and our God-given purpose, trying to rob us of that. And devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Look at our cities. Look at Minneapolis. Maybe North Central College should be teaching law and order. Maybe they should be worried about reaching into the inner cities, and maybe they do this a little bit, I don't know. Maybe they should be worried about putting messages on their Facebook page about black fathers being fathers. About black men that procreate with black women, maybe they ought to be teaching them to stay there and be a father, to be a leader of their household. Oh no, but that would you know, look prejudice, you know, and things like that. No, that would look like the truth, my friends. That would look like you telling the truth and not just you trying to look holy and loving. Because you look at it, you think about it. The modern day church can be summed up this way. They are the new Pharisees. What do Pharisees like? They like to be seen and heard of men. They want men to think they're righteous. What is the movement in America that makes you righteous? Well, if you're loving and caring. If you hashtag love wins, if you hashtag anything with the word love on it and diversity and tolerance, then people will look at you and say, oh, holy person, loving person. That's not loving. For even Satan himself and his ministers are disguised as agents of love, agents of light. In the book of Corinthians states, love is telling people the truth. Even if it makes you look like a bigot and a hater, if it makes people not like you, that's true courage. It's so easy. I mean, tomorrow I could just go on and support all these things and get everybody to love me. But could I live with myself for doing that? Would I want to do that? No, I want to please God. I'm not out here looking for men's approval. That's why I mentioned the institution of slavery, which Juneteenth condemns. That's why I mention it as being a biblical institution protected by the 4th and 10th commandment. That's why I'm not afraid to mention it, because I'm here to please God. I'm not here to please anybody else. And I'm not here to... I'm zealous for the truth. I'm zealous for God's word. And when I see something that's so blatantly true in it, I'm not going to back down because somebody might think that I am the, worst racist, bigot, hateful, homophobic person in the world. I don't care about that. If Jesus would have cared about that, we wouldn't have forgiveness of sins. We wouldn't have been able to be purchased from a bad slave master to a good one. Now think about this. The slave masters over in Africa, were they Christian? No, they were not Christian. The people who bought slaves in America, were many of them Christians? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all the sin is whether the slave master is a just man or whether he's a wicked man. There you have it. So right there, Juneteenth itself is an anti-biblical holiday. Okay? If it demonizes the history and the culture of America at that time. Well, all right, here we go. Jeremiah says, pour out thy... Okay, let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. My friends, things are going to go back to their natural order. God has a kingdom. He has a hierarchy. He's chosen the nations for different purposes, and this is how it's going. Isaiah 61, verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. We're going to go back to the way... former? Ancient or progressing? No. You may progress for a time, or at least think you're progressing for a time, but we're going back to the old way. We're going back to old school, my friends. What is old school? Living according to the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not your pastors that tell you the feel-good stories and talk about love every single day. So everybody thinks they're love and they're full of, that they are the embodiment of love and compassion and the Christian way. No, we're going back to this way. They shall raise up the former desolations. We're going to rebuild and restore the truth. And they shall repair the waste cities, the cities that are run by welfare mobs, anti-police forces, and so on. The desolations of many generations. And strangers, who are strangers? They are the heathens, the non-Israelite nations, and ultimately non-believers. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Now, some would say, well, Pastor, man, I know I see that there. This looks like a plantation living, and we shouldn't talk about that. I mean, the plantation is the picture of evil in America. We hide these verses, but you know what? The reason why we study the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse is so that we are in balance. Local pastor who just did a study on balance. Okay. Studying the balance and in context, not just picking the verses that don't offend anybody, telling your stories and entertaining people every week, week in and week out. But putting the same by not ignoring any verses. This verse is here in Isaiah 61, verse 5. Just as much as all of the other verses are where Jesus tells us to love. All right? We can't ignore either or. They must be read in context. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of your alien shall be your plowmen and of your and your vine dressers. Plantation life in the millennial age and the eternity. But you shall be named. Who's you? The Israelites. God's people that were to be the royal priesthood to the nations. Here it says, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. My friends, these people, our destiny and purpose, America's destiny and purpose was to be a light. And even our presidents have said this. Other people, early ministers in America, said that America was the new Israel. They are to be a light and an example unto the world. But now we're being told, when we hate on the 4th of July, hate on America's Independence Day, hate the pilgrims, the coming of Christians to America, now we're being told that all this was evil. But God says we're going to restore it. Think about it. Not my words, my friends. They're trying to destroy our heritage, our purpose, and our calling. I will not have it. I will not have it, and I will make no apology for it, because this is the word of God. For your shame, what shame? Oh, you should be guilty. You should pay reparations for what your ancestors, you evil slave owners and things like that. For your shame, you shall have double. Whose shame? The Israelites' shame for being browbeaten, for being slandered, for being called sinners, for being called vile men, for being slave owners and so forth. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Who? Well, I'm just going to say it the way it is. The white Christians who have been demonized by the woke culture. For our shame, for being slandered, is all this evil and all these things that we've done, which were in most cases were not against biblical law. None of us are perfect. None of our forefathers were perfect, but these were godly men. Many of them that are being slandered and vilified. And I will not stand by and let it happen without a defense from the word of God. And they shall possess a double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Everlasting joy from what seems to be described as plantation life. People got a rude awakening coming. You know, the kingdom of heaven isn't going to be a worldwide democracy. It is a kingdom. And when you look at the kingdom, and we don't say this to boast or to put ourselves over people. The Israelites are a servant nation. We're just trying to serve other people. Okay? What do you mean, serve other people? Your ancestors owned slaves. Well, we're not those Christian slave owners actually serving the slaves spiritually. When they taught them the Bible, they taught them how to read, how to write. When they took care of their families, treated them as a part of the family, as like a wild olive branch grafted into the olive tree. Think about that. Think about that. Those are good people trying to do good things. Were they not a blessing to those people? They absolutely were. And we're calling them demons. Our culture today wants to tear down every memorial of them. You know, the statues of, you know, and I'm not into statue making and things like that, but these were memorials of our culture, right? They want to destroy anything that had any resemblance of anything that was white and Christian because of a lie that the institution of slavery and anybody who held slaves were evil men. And now the apologist Christian will come up today. And I know some really good ones, okay? A couple of brothers that I like to listen to a lot. I'm not going to name them by name. Great guys. But when it comes to this issue, they have not taken the time to educate themselves, okay? Couple of twins, okay? Love them to death. But whenever they get onto this, I just shake my head. Brother, you don't get it. You can't win a battle by repeating lies and misinformation. Okay? There are many people that just don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't want to understand this. They want to just believe the woke culture lie. Anyways, I think we will close with that. Hey, July 4th is America's holiday. Juneteenth is the holiday of the progressives. Juneteenth, that your church may be celebrating and not the 4th of July because they think they're a bunch of lovers and do-gooders, is a holiday that casts shade, that casts out our great loving Christian forefathers as evil, wicked reprobates. You better think twice before you jump on this woke movement and stand for unbiblical lies. God bless you. Stay in His Word every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer.
Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you would like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of His terrible sword. His truth is marching on.